Hallelujah. Today, scripture reading is Act chapter 20, verse 28. Act chapter 20, verse 28. I like to read. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. This is the word of God. Today's title is The Church Which God Purchased with the Blood of the Covenant. The Church Which God Purchased with the Blood of the Covenant. We define the church as a covenant of communities purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. This is because God has made a covenant with us by grace and not by law, by establishing a new covenant in the blood of Jesus. You can find out that at the Luke chapter 22, verse 20, in the Jesus said, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And by it he has reconciled all men to God in Christ through his blood. As you know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 is very clearly talked to us. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The scriptures speaks of this blood of Christ as the blood of everlasting covenant by which God raised up from the dead those who were descended from Adam's. According to the Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the scripture said, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord." I want to focus on the word covenant in order to receive God's grace. Surely, God called the people of Israel to be a covenant community in the Old Testament and led them into the land of Canaan. But in the end, they crucified and killed the Lord who came as the Lord of life. We too are part of the blood of Jesus' everlasting covenant. The Israelites tried to be holy by memorizing the scripture and doing good work, but they all failed. Do we, as a covenant people, have the assurance that we will be the people who will recognize the honors and glorified when the Lord returns? We must not forget that it is the church that he has established with his blood that he is returning to. We want this to be a precious time for us to realize what kind of life we must live as a covenant people in a covenant community, both with the blood of his eternal covenant, so that we will not be abandoned like the Israelite. We hear the word covenant a lot, and we think we know it well, but if we don't think deeply about how it affects our lives and what it means to us, it becomes just a word that passes through our ears and disappears. The word used the word covenant interchangeably with a promise or contract. In interpersonal relationships, it means a conditional promise made by mutual agreement for the benefit of both parties. It has a clearly defined obligation and right, but it can be nullified if one party fails to keep it. And when it is broken, the broken party must pay a satisfactory price. God's covenant, however, is a unilateral announcement of God's grace. In other words, God first guarantees it with his own oath, regardless of the behavior of the human on the other side. While earthly covenants are based on interest, biblical covenants are about restoring a relationship with God. God is our Creator and Father, and when humans betrayed Him, they became so corrupted that they didn't even know God existed. Recognized. With the heart of a father who has lost his son, God wanted to restore the relationship with God through the covenant in order to find us, call us, and let us know that He is our Father. Certainly, it is the heart of God the Father that if we obey His covenant, He will grant us all good things and even give us all His inheritance. He said that if we keep His covenant and fulfill it, He will grant us all the blessings we want on this earth. According to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9, so keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. And He is telling us that we must remember and keep God's covenant, for He is the one who will take responsibility for us and faithfully protect us even to 1,000 generations. We find out at the Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is a God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandment. And also in the according to the Psalm 103, verse 17, the scripture said, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. Hallelujah. So we must believe that if we believe these words and keep them, God the Father will follow us to the end and pour out His blessings upon us. But if we disobey, He has made a covenant with us in which we are to be chastened. However, His discipline is not out of hatred, but is merely a means to turn our heart with the face of a little child back to Him out of love. What God desires through His covenant with us is simply that we come to know Him and become one with Him. Amen. That is why He does not hesitate to chasten us. Let's look at the Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father the son in whom He delights. I give you another one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. This is a very famous verse. I like to read. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The idea behind the covenant in the Bible is that God loves human beings so much that He has made them a special promise. Let's find out at the Leviticus chapter 26, verse 9. God said, so I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. Amen. Thus, humans enter into a covenant with God, getting to know the God who has made a covenant with them, experiencing God's passionate love, and creating a personal relationship that unites them. This is what the Old Testament referred to as God making people his people and God becoming our God. I'd like to give you another scripture, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my peoples. However, through the first covenant, the covenant at the Mount Sinai, and the law, we come to recognize sin and through sacrifice approach God. But the people were unable to fully keep God's covenant and the law, continually disobeying his command. And in the end, they broke God's covenant. God had no choice but to establish a new covenant, no longer inscribing God's law on stone tablet, but on the tablet of our minds and heart, so that there would be a true renewal of our heart. Since we cannot be made perfectly by keeping the outward rules of the law, it was Jesus Christ, the new covenant, who provided the way to perfections. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus, we are washed in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, our sins forgiven, and we were set on the path of new transformed persons. However, although we have been made perfect by the blood of Jesus, we are still carnal and inclined to follow our simple desires, which is why we must not neglect to always sanctify ourselves in the word and in prayer. Through Jesus, we have received a new heart and a new spirit, and now he has given us the task of working with the Holy Spirit among us. Therefore, we must live our lives moment by moment as the Holy Spirit leads us, for this is the only way to live without following the desire of the flesh. Let's look at the Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. I let it read, "But I say, work by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." The Spirit always leads in the same direction as God's Word, and that Word should be the standard for everything I do. This is not to be my will or my head, but something I must ask God daily and pray about. This is what God wants from us. According to the Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the scripture said, "And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness." Spirit also helps our weakness. "For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words." There are certainly times when the Holy Spirit readings is not what we think it should be, and sometimes it feels uncomfortable or like we are losing out, but we must not forsake our own will and resist the Holy Spirit leading to the right path, for in that moment, we miss our last chance at eternal life. The Jesus said in the Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, "And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come." Amen. Therefore, In his final message to the church, he warned, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he repeated this 7 times. Just I'd like to give you the one verse, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. I'd like to read, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcome, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Think about that. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel were required to keep the law, but today we must live with a heart that loves and delights in God through faith. We must not deny the truth that we do not live according to the God's word because we do not love God. Setting aside our own thought and words, we must live according to His word so that we can avoid the same path that led the Israelites to stumble. If we truly believe in God's infinite love, the love that He showed by sacrificing His only Son for us, then we must love God who has shown us such love. Even if we dislike or hate those whom He loves, the love we have received from God is so great that as a response, we should love them. This is the mark of someone who has truly realized the love received from God. If God says to love even your enemies, even those who persecute you, then it is our duty as believers to love them. The Lord said to love first, and then we will know and experience His love. The Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Why? Even after receiving the word and living a life of faith for so many years, do we not change? It is because we have accepted the word only as knowledge without allowing it to transform our heart to live according to it. It is because we do not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We should be living by the words with grace, but instead we are living a life of outward form, habitual religious practice. The life of those who have received the new covenant in Jesus is a life of working with the Holy Spirit, working with the Lord. It's a life of listening to the Holy Spirit, of being active in the things we love first. It's a life of imitating Jesus. Still, because we are weak, we must come together as the covenant people in the covenant community, the church, and become one body with Jesus, the head of the church. By faith with God is personal, but until we reach the kingdom, we must grow to become mature. This is not something we can do alone. Let's look at the Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Scripture said, and if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Amen. The church is a place where we look out for one another, pray for one another, guide one another on the right path, bear one another's burdens, and press on day by day toward the Father. Let's look at the Hebrew chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, clearly talk to us, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of the some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I give you another one, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear on another burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In the church, the covenant people are to live out the love they have received in Jesus and to strive to keep their unity in that love. I'd like to give to you the reading about the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Love, serve, and build up one another. If we are alone, we are those who are bound to fall, for the Lord has commanded. Let's look at the Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Scripture said, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interests of others. I give you another one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. This is how we can defend the covenant community, the church, from the devil who is trying to tear it down at all cost. In this way, we ourselves become the body of Christ, united to the Lord, when all the members with Jesus as the head are joined together and fulfill their respective tasks. Amen. Okay, I'd like to give you Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same functions, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Amen. In the praise, it is not just Jesus and I, but I, as someone who has received Jesus' grace and other covenant people like me who gather together. As we observe each other's face, we come to see our own. Through mutual rebuke, encouragement, teaching, and practical sharing about not living according to the Lord. And we become firmly united as the body of Christ, growing in spiritual maturity. It becomes a place of spiritual training. Satanists hate it when the church is tightly knit, united, and living in the Spirit. Even in the end times, the battle with Satan will take place in the church. He wants the church to close its doors. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandment of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. How are we living today as God's covenant people in the covenant community, the church? Are we helpless before Satan who is tearing down the church, or are we building up the church in the face of Satan? Let's close by reading the Bible together. Please open your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20 to 27. I like to read. We'll read together. Let's start. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the hands to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the member of the body within which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that the members which lacked, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members members rejoice with it. Now you are the Christ body and individually members of it. Amen.